One should engage in the kind of sadhana bhakti for which he is qualified. Lahiri, how does one know he is qualified for one or the other of these kinds of sadhana bhakti? Babaji, a faithful person who follows the rules and regulations is qualified. In the beginning, his spiritual master teaches him Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Then, when the disciple becomes qualified, the spiritual master teaches him how to worship the Lord by following the path of Raghunuga Bhakti. Lahiri, how does a person know he has become qualified for this? One who has not yet experienced in his heart the love that characterizes Raghunuga Bhakti, and who instead wishes to serve the Lord according to the rules and regulations described in the scriptures, is qualified to engage in Vaidhi Bhakti. One who does not wish to be ruled by the scriptures' rules and regulations in his devotional service to Lord Hari, and whose heart of spontaneous love for Lord Hari's devotional service has become manifest, is qualified to engage in Raghunuga Bhakti. Lahiri, O Master, please tell me, for which am I qualified? I cannot understand these explanations of who is qualified for what. I do not know whether I should engage in Vaidhi or Raghunuga Bhakti. Babaji, if you examine your heart, you will understand where you are qualified. In your heart, do you see the idea that it is not possible to engage in devotional service to Lord Hari without following the scriptures' teachings? Lahiri, in my mind is the idea that sadhana bhakti, following the scriptures' teachings, brings the best result. But now in my mind, I also think that devotional service to Lord Hari is a great ocean of nectar. And by engaging in devotional service, I will gradually be able to taste that nectar. Babaji, you can now see that the scriptures' rules and regulations are the ruler of your mind. Therefore, you should engage in Vaidhi Bhakti. Gradually, the spiritual love that is Raghunuga Bhakti will manifest in your heart. Hearing these words, Lahiri Mahashai, his eyes now filled with tears, touched the Babaji's feet and said, "Please be merciful and engage me as I am qualified. I am not able to understand my own qualifications." The saintly Babaji then embraced him and made him sit down again. So here is also is that the disciple is happy with whatever is the position. It's not that he is thinking, you know, that, well, no, I have to be able to be engaged in Raghunuga Bhakti because the Raghunuga is supposed to be higher, and since I want to be doing the highest thing because I am the best thing, so naturally, therefore, I should be doing that. So why Guru Maharaj is not telling me this? So here he's happy because he feels he's a fool. So whatever he's good at, that's what he'll be doing. That's the thing. So then it becomes very proper, because we want, if we actually want to go back to Godhead, we have to want what's real, not what we think is real. That is an important point. Lahiri, please order me, and I will thus engage in devotional service. Babaji, you should chant the holy names of Lord Hari. Taking shelter of the holy names is the most powerful of all kinds of devotional service. The name of the Lord and the Lord himself are not different. By offenselessly chanting the holy names, one quickly attains all spiritual perfections. Therefore, with great faith, you should chant the holy names. By again and again chanting the holy names, one engages in all nine kinds of devotional service. By chanting the holy names aloud, one engages in Shravanam, hearing, and Kirtanam, chanting. As one chants the holy names, one will naturally remember Smaranam, the pastimes of Lord Hari, and in one's mind one will serve his feet, Padasevanam, worship him, Archanam, offer obeisance to him, Vandanam, serve him, Dasyam, think of him as a friend, Shakyam, and surrender everything to him, Atmanivedanam. In this way, one engages in all nine activities of devotional service. Lahiri, my heart is very eager to receive the holy names. O Master, please be merciful. Please don't delay any further. Babaji, O great soul, without committing offenses, you should always chant this mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As he chanted these words again and again, the saintly Babaji placed in Lahiri Mahashai's hands a string of Tulsi beads. Weeping, Lahiri Mahashai again and again chanted the holy names on these beads. He said, O Master, I cannot express the happiness I feel today. Overcome with happiness, Lahiri fell unconscious at the Babaji's feet. The saintly Babaji carefully picked him up. After a long time, Lahiri Mahashai said, "Today I am fortunate. Never before have I been so happy." Babaji, O great soul, you are fortunate, for you have faithfully accepted the holy names. Thus you have made me fortunate also. From that day, Lahiri Mahashai chanted the holy names on those beads. Without fear, he stayed in his cottage and chanted the holy names. Some days passed in this way. Lahiri Mahashai wore the 12 tilak marks. He did not eat anything but Krishna Vishadam. Every day he chanted 2 lakhs of the Lord's holy names of Lord Hari. Whenever he saw a pure Vaishnava, he would always offer dandavat obeisances. Every day he would offer dandavat obeisances to the Paramahamsa Babaji before attending to other duties. He always served the spiritual master. He was not attracted to useless gossip or non-devotional music. He was not the same Lahiri Mahashai. Now he was a Vaishnava. One day he offered dandavat obeisances to saintly Vaishnava Das Babaji and asked, "O Master, what is the final spiritual goal, Prayojana?" Babaji, pure love for Lord Krishna, Krishna Prema, is the final spiritual goal for the individual soul. Again and again performing the duties of sadhana bhakti, one attains the state of bhava, ecstasy. When bhava becomes complete and reaches its perfection, it is called prema, pure spiritual love. That is the individual soul's eternal nature, his eternal wealth, his highest goal. The absence of this love is the greatest calamity. It brings bondage in the material world. It means the attempt to enjoy with the material senses. Nothing is higher or better than this spiritual love, prema. Lord Krishna himself is controlled by this love alone. This love is purely spiritual. It means bondage in this material world. Oh, the absence of love is the greatest calamity. This love is purely spiritual. It is filled with the most intense spiritual bliss. Lahiri, weeping again and again, "Will I ever be qualified to attain this spiritual love?" Babaji, embracing him, "Look, and in a few days your sadhana bhakti will become bhava bhakti. A few days after that, Lord Krishna will certainly be merciful to you." Overcome with joy to hear this, Lahiri Mahashai said, "Ah, aside from the spiritual master, nothing is important. A spiritual master has mercifully rescued me from the blind well of material sense gratification." Okay, so here now in that chapter he described all the, it was a discussion, they described this often, the Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. So in the beginning then was all the details about the Lord, the Jiva, the material energy, and that relationship. Then he started discussing Abhideya, which then was the process of, you know, sadhana bhakti, then bhava bhakti, prema bhakti. So sadhana bhakti. So in the sadhana bhakti, the chanting of the holy names, the 9 processes of devotional service, he then described. And then after chanting for some time, then he brought up the point of prayojana. So prayojana is to attain that pure love for Krishna. That is the goal. That's why everything is being done. The Abhideya is for that purpose, not for another purpose. So now he's explained all those 3. So then the sadhana will mature into bhava bhakti, bhava bhakti will mature into prema bhakti. And then that's the ultimate goal, when one has that love for Krishna. So all the different activities that the living entity does are simply to get to that stage. There's no other purpose like that. Any questions on any of those things before? So now chapter 3, isn't this chapter 4?
It's just repeating there some of it, so I have to put this text
together. Oh, okay, well, whatever, it's another chapter.
It's actually a repetition of chapter 3 put in there, so you have to go through it all again.
So this is the same chapter.
the chapter 5 now.
So we just before he already saw Navadvipa and all that, right?
Yeah. It's just the way the file is drawn. It does it a few times, a few chapters keep repeating.
I guess they're good chapters. This is the way all of them are, or just the way it is in your place?
Same file.
They're all it's the same file. Oh, you just put it across?
Yeah.
Chapter 4. Okay, it's the Vaishnava vision. And Nitya Dharma, Naimittik Naya. Vaidhi Bhakti and the eternal religion, it is not temporary. Lahiri Mahashaya had a large family in his home in Shantipur. His two sons were famous scholars. One was named Chandranath, who was 35 years old. He was a landowner, zamindar, and he looked after all the household affairs. He was learned in the medical texts. He did trouble himself much with religion. Still, he was honored in Brahmana society. He took care of the servants, maids, doorkeepers, and others, and he looked after the household affairs. The second son was named Devidas. The first one was Chandranath. Devidas. From childhood, he eagerly studied the Nyaya Shastra and Smriti Shastra. He had his own school with 10 or 15 students. He bore the title Vidyaratna, the jewel of knowledge. One day in Shantipur, there was a rumor that Kalidas Lahiri had become a Vaishnav ascetic. That was his name? Kalidas? We just know it as Lahiri Mahashaya. Kalidas Lahiri. So he had become a Vaishnav ascetic. The rumor was everywhere. At the bathing ghats, in the marketplace, and on the streets. Some said that he was now a senile old man. Indeed, on that day, the general opinion was that he had become senile. Some said perhaps he was struck with some disease. He is a Brahmin by birth. His sons and wife and family obey him. But suffering led him to renounce the world. Some said, such is the sad end of they who run here and there, advertising their love for religion. Some educated person said, Kalidas Lahiri is a very pious man. Although everything this world has to offer is in his possession, in his old age he has become attracted to the holy names of Lord Hari. In these ways they talked. Hearing all these rumors, someone repeated them to Devidas, Vidyaratna Mahashaya. Wrapped in thought, Vidyaratna approached his elder brother and said, Brother, I think our father is in great trouble. His body is in good health. He is staying at Godrum in Nadia, but he has fallen into bad association. We cannot be blind to the rumors in the village. Chandranath replied, O brother, I have also heard some of these rumors. The fame of our house is very great. Still, when I hear these rumors about father, I can no longer hold my head high. We have always held the family of Advaita Prabhu in low esteem. But what has now happened in our own house? Let us go home, consult with our saintly mother, and do what we can. Devidas and Chandranath sat on the veranda of their home. A Brahmana widow served them their meal. Their mother sat with them, arranging for the meal. Chandranath said, Mother, have you heard any news about father? The saintly mother replied, Why? Is his health good? He is in Navadvipa now. He is mad after the holy names of Lord Hari. Why don't you bring him back here? Devidas said, Mother, his health is good, but I have heard that other things are not good. If we bring him home, our reputation will be ruined. Then the saintly mother asked, How can it be? The other day at the Ganga's shore, I talked about many things with the daughter-in-law of one of the big Goswamis. She said to me, Your husband is very fortunate. The Vaishnavas honor him. Devidas said, He is not honored in our social circles. Now that he is old in years, will he stay at home and allow us to serve him? No, he eats the remnants left by men who wear loincloths. He has defiled our exalted family. O wicked age of Kali, our father has seen and heard so much. What has happened to his intelligence now? Because they're smarter, so then they're thinking, what a disaster has happened because he has become a devotee. Right? And these, you know, and these are ones who are following the Vedic culture very strictly, but missing the point. Right? Their family tradition and heritage will be ruined because they became devotees. The saintly mother said, bring him here and keep him hidden until you can bring him to his senses. Chandranath said, what else can we do? Accompanied by two or three men, Devi should go to Gotruma and secretly bring father back. Devi said, you know very well that father, thinking me an atheist, does not have a very good opinion of me. I cannot even talk with him there. If I cannot even talk with him, there should be something else I can do. Devidasa's maternal cousin, Shambhunath, is liked by father. Shambhunath stayed with him and served him for many days. So it was settled that the two of them, Devidasa and Shambhunath, were to go to Gotama. So this whole idea of, how you say, kidnapping and deprogramming is not new. Right? So it was settled that the two of them, Devidasa and Shambhunath, were to go to Gotama. A servant was sent in advance to arrange their stay in some Brahmin's home. The next day, Shambhunath and Devidas finished their meal and set out for Gotruma. Arriving, they descended from the palanquins and gave the bearers permission to depart. At their new place, they would have one Brahmin cook and two servants. Like that. We also see before some of the culture there is that they were being served old, how you say? Widow Brahmani was there because sometimes they didn't have, you know, they might not be much left in the family, so they would take shelter of other Brahmins or, you know, these schools or different things. And then they would help, you know, in various services there. Then we also see that the mother, even though this other Brahmani was serving, she would sit there and see that it was going properly and all that. So she was directing like that. And then the sons were taking eating. At sunset, Devidas and Shambhunath peacefully walked about Prajumna Kunj. They saw Lahiri Mahashaya sitting on a leaf seat in Sri Surabhi's courtyard. His eyes closed, he was chanting the holy names of Lord Hari on his beads. His limbs were glorious with the 12 tilak marks. Quietly entering the courtyard, Shambhunath and Devidas offered dandavat obeisances to the feet of Lahiri Mahashai. Startled, Lahiri Mahashai opened his eyes and said, Shambhu, why have you come? What is in your mind that you have come here? Devi is all well with you. The two of them humbly said, because you have blessed us, all is well. Lahiri Mahashai asked, will you take your meal here? The two answered, we are already guests at someone's house. You need not worry for us. At that moment, the sound of Lord Hari's holy names came from Sri Premdas's cottage of Madhavi and Malati vines. Then Sri Vaishnava Das came from his cottage and asked Lahiri Mahashai, why does the sound of Lord Hari's names come from the Paramahamsa Babaji's cottage? Lahiri Mahashai and Vaishnava Das went there. There they saw many Vaishnavas chanting the holy names of Lord Hari and circumambulating the saintly Babaji. The two of them joined in these activities. Then everyone offered dandavat obeisances to the saintly Paramahamsa Babaji. Then everyone sat down. Devidas and Shambhunath also sat down to one side. They were like two ducks surrounded by a flock of swans. One of the Vaishnavas said, we come from the town of Katwa. Our primary reason to come here is to see Sri Navadvipa and Sri Mayapur and to attain the dust of the Paramahamsa Babaji's feet. Embarrassed, the Paramahamsa Babaji said, I am a fallen sinner. You have come here to purify me. After a short time, it becomes obvious that these Vaishnavas are very expert in singing the glories of Lord Hari. In a moment, mridanga and kartals are brought, reading from a paper, an elderly Vaishnava saying these words: Sri Krishna Chaitanya Chandra Prabhu Nityananda Gaurai Advaita Chandra Gaura Bhaktavinda. O Sri Krishna Chaitanya Chandra, O Prabhu Nityananda, O Garadhar, O Advaita Chandra, O devotees of Lord Gaura. Apara Karuna Sindhu Vaishnava Thakur Mohina Pamare Daya Karaha Pachur. Vaishnava Thakur, O shoreless ocean of mercy, please be merciful to me, a fallen sinner. Jati Bidya Dana Jana Made Mata Jane Udhara Kara He Nata Kripa Bitarane. Master, please be merciful and deliver me, a person mad with pride in my birth, learning, and wealth. Kanaka Kamini Lobha Pratishta Vasana Chadaya Shodha More E Mora Pratana. Please purify me of the desire for gold, women, and fame. That is my prayer. Nama Ruchi Jivadoya Vaishnave Ulas Daya Kori Deha More Ohe Krishna Das. O servant of Lord Krishna, please be merciful and give me attraction for the holy name, mercy to the living entities, and happy association with the Vaishnavas. Yeah, this we can ask for. Tomara Charana Chaya Eka Matra Asha Jivane Marane Matra Amara Bharasa. The shade of your feet is my only hope. Whether I live or die, you are my only shelter. When these verses came to an end, Lahiri Mahashai sang a prayer he had himself composed. Miche Maya Vase Samsara Sagare Padiyachi Lama Ami Karuna Kariya Dia Parachaya Hamare Tarile Tumi. I was in the grip of illusion. I had fallen into the ocean of birth and death. You were merciful to me. You gave me the shade of your feet. You rescued me. Shuna Shuna Vaishnava Thakur Tomara Charani Sampayachi Mata Mora Dukha Kara Dur. Please hear me, O saintly Vaishnava. Please hear me. Now I surrender to your feet. Please throw my sufferings far away. Jatir Gorer Kevala Gorabha Bidyase Abidya Kala Shodiya Amaya Nitai Charani Sampahe Jauka Jala. Pride of caste is hell. Material learning is ignorance. Please purify me and place me before Lord Nityananda's feet. Please extinguish the fire that burns within me. Tomara Kripaya Amara Jivaya Spuraka Jugalanam Kahe Kalidas Amara Hridaye Jaguka Sri Radhasham. Please be merciful and place on my tongue the holy names of the divine couple. Kalidas prays, please place Shishi Radhasham in my heart. Hearing this song, everyone became wild with happiness. Together they stood up, again and again they sang, again and again singing the words, please place Shishi Radhasham in my heart. They danced wildly, again and again dancing. Some Vaishnava became overwhelmed with spiritual love and fell unconscious. Then something unprecedented happened, something that when he saw it made Devi Das think, Father is now plunged in meditation on the Absolute. It will be difficult to take him home again. The meeting broke up in the middle of the night. After saying their farewells, everyone returned to their own places. After bidding farewell to Lahiri Mahashai, Devi Das and Shambhunath returned to their host's home. The next day, after they had finished their meal, Devi and Shambhu entered Lahiri Mahashai's cottage. After offering Dandavat obeisances, Devi Das Vidyaratna placed the following request before Lahiri Mahashai. This is my request. Please reside in Shantipur. In this place there are many troubles and inconveniences. All of us will happily serve you at home. If you order, we will arrange a solitary room for you to stay there. Lahiri Mahasaya replied, "It is not a bad idea. Still, in Shantipur, I will not be able to associate with devotees as I do here. Devi, you know that the people of Shantipur are atheists and delight in criticizing others. It is not a happy place for anyone to live. True, there are many Brahmins there, but their intelligence is warped by association with weavers." Because they make cloth there. So all the fine Bengali dhotis, saris, they all come from there. "The three characteristics of Shantipur's people are fine garments, pompous words, and blasphemy of Vaishnavas." Yes. This is their expertise. I've heard it myself. I was there, we went in. Well, I forget what we were there for. We went in and then we went up one street and we were looking for someone, went down, and then I was standing at one side. And then one gentleman came up, very, very like holding himself in a very proud way and, you know, very dignified and that. Then he said, he asked, "Are you a Naistika Brahmachari or a Udar Ananda Brahmachari?" Udar Ananda, Udar means stomach. So Udar Ananda means, you know, one who delights in eating, you know. So unfortunately I didn't understand enough Bengali to understand what he was talking about at that time. So, you know, we tried to say something, but they take great happiness in giving trouble to others, you know, especially Vaishnavas. Like that. So, and I know that you're the, you know, at least before, at least the best of Bengal cloth, handloom cloth, is woven there in Shantipur. And it's said that the Ganga, she used to flow right next to Shantipur. But because of so much aparad to the Vaishnava, she moved like about a mile away, so that only those who were very sincere from Shantipur would go. Otherwise, she didn't want to offer, you know, the opportunity for them to take bath there. That is why the descendants of Advaita Prabhu suffer there. By bad association, even many of them have also turned against Lord Mahaprabhu. Therefore, please arrange that I may stay here in Godruma. That is my desire. Devidas said, "Father, what you say is true. Still, why need you have any contact with Shantipur's people? In your own private room, you can chant Gayatri and perform your other religious duties. In this way, you may pass your days. A brahmana has eternal duties and eternal religious rituals. Great souls like yourself should always be absorbed in these duties." Lahiri Mahasaya said, "Son, those days are no more. Now that I have stayed for some months with the devotees and heard the teachings of my spiritual master, my view of life has completely changed. What you call eternal duties, I call temporary duties. Devotional service to Lord Hari is the soul's only eternal duty. Chanting Gayatri and other like duties are all temporary." Kalidas replied, "Father, I do not see that duty in any scripture." "Father, I do not see that duty in any scripture. Is chanting Gayatri not the worship of Lord Hari? If chanting Gayatri is the worship of Lord Hari, then it is an eternal religious duty. How is chanting Gayatri different from hearing and chanting about Lord Hari and the other activities and the other activities of Vaidhi Bhakti?" Lahiri Mahasaya said, "Child, chanting Gayatri and other Karmakanda activities are very different from Vaidhi Bhakti. Chanting Gayatri," this means the Brahma Gayatri, "and other Karmakanda activities are performed with a desire to attain impersonal liberation. However, hearing and chanting about Lord Hari and the other activities of Vaidhi Bhakti are not performed with any material motive. When in the scriptures such results are seen to come from devotional activities that begin with hearing and chanting the glories of Lord Hari, that is so only for the purpose of attracting the materialists. Devotional service to Lord Hari brings only one result, devotional service to Lord Hari. It brings no other result. The primary result attained by Vaidhi Bhakti is that one becomes attracted to serve Lord Hari. Devidas said, "Father, then it is true that some secondary results also and pretenders, but internally at the root there is a difference of faith. The worship of Lord Hari performed by a person who thinks that worship the worship of Lord Hari performed by a person who thinks that material fruit of activity may bring purity of mind, impersonal liberation, cure of diseases, or other material results. Still, the worship of Lord Hari performed by a person who thinks that worship is spiritual devotional service brings attraction to Lord Krishna's holy name only as its result. The other ones, who thinks that worship is material fruit of activity. Okay, so that's like in the eighth offense, when we think it's part of karma kanda. If it's done in that way, then if one chants and does worship of the Lord, thinking it to be a material fruit of activity, then you will get the material fruits, but you won't get attraction for Krishna. Therefore, it's considered an offense. But if you perform the worship of the Lord and think it, understand it as a spiritual devotional service, then it will bring attraction to Krishna's names as the result. For the materialist, observance of the Ekadasi vow destroys sins. For the devotees, observance of the Ekadasi vow increases devotion to Lord Hari. You can see the difference here. The subtle difference of sadhana, bhakti performed by they who think it a material activity and they who think it a spiritual devotional service can be understood only by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The materialists are caught up in the secondary results. The devotees attain the primary result. All secondary results may be grouped into two categories, material sense gratification and impersonal liberation. In other words, these two aspects of also just the process is becoming freed from the grip of the material energy. Like that, and that the facilities that come along with the performance of devotional service, these are secondary. So the devotee does not worry about them or care much about them. His main primary interest is the other, the attraction to Krishna, being attracted to Krishna. Like that means these means there's two sides of the whole process within the category of sambandha. One is the establishing of the rules and regulations and the destruction of our attractions to the material world. So if that's the main focus, then one has to be very careful that one is not then gets distracted by the desire for liberation. Just one wants to be freed of the material disturbances. And in there is that we also have to be careful of the results that come from devotional service. Because when dharma is performed, artha automatically comes. It just comes automatically. Like if you light a fire, heat and light also come. So it's just there. But one has to be careful to not become distracted by these. That's not the main. That is to help us, only to help us become attracted to Krishna, because we're not attracted by Maya. Right? It's two different things, one being attracted by Krishna, one being attracted by Maya. But if we're attracted by Maya, we can't be attracted by Krishna. So the performance of the activities of sadhana bhakti then have these two-fold things. One, to never forget Krishna, and to always remember Krishna, as we've discussed before. So never to forget, that's how the devotees look at not being attracted by the material energy. Right? Because otherwise it'll turn into impersonal. We want to give up the material attraction, but if that's all we want, there's so much disturbance, Krishna, please take this away. You know, then that will have these two underlying things, because it's we want the misery to go, but that means we want the enjoyment. Because we're not playing, please take away this material enjoyment and this material suffering. Right? We're only playing get rid of the suffering. We're not playing get rid of also the happiness. Right? Like that. Because both of them are material. So then, how do you say, that's the one side. And the other side is we want to get rid of all pains and all these things. It means that by performance of this how do you say, by karma yoga, then it will free us of the material entanglement. Like that. Karma, no, but karma yoga will. It means when it's connected to the Lord.
Question, Maharaj. You said the artha naturally comes from Dharma.
Yeah.
Does karma and moksha also come? Because it's Dharma after karma and moksha. Is that done like that, string down for a reason? Karma first and the others come?
Yeah, yeah. Means you start with Dharma, that'll automatically it gives artha. And then when there's artha, there's kama. And then one gets sick of kama, then one goes up to moksha. And then one gets sick of moksha, then one comes back down to, because there's no activity, so one comes back down to the activities of dharma. So you just keep going around and around. Yeah. Like that. And sometimes for variation, you get sick of all of it, and then you get into voidism. Because then it has none of that. Like that. And when you get sick of that, then we again come back to dharma, artha, kama. Like that, it just keeps going. So we go from sense enjoyment, you know, to impersonal understanding, to voidism, and then back to sense, like this, we just keep going around. And around. That's what we've been doing for some time. Right? Like that. So, we have to understand that both have to be there. You have to do them both at once. Otherwise, then, we will get that liberation, but that's not the primary purpose, that's secondary. Right? It's just to get rid of the obstacles to us getting attracted to Krishna. Right? Material attraction and material entanglement is an obstacle for us being attracted to Krishna. So that's what we're interested in, is getting attracted to Krishna. Not getting away from the material energy. We only have to get away from the material energy to become attracted to Krishna. But on its own, getting away from material energy, that's not the interest. Like that. Because otherwise, then we'll get stuck into the impersonal Brahman, and that will eventually land us back in the heavenly planets. You know, so like this, it'll keep going. So that's the point he is making here. Is that it has to be, I would say. Yeah, one must understand these differences. Otherwise, both may be performing devotional service. But one is doing so from the point of getting karma, the other is doing from the point of getting jnana, you know, or sense gratification and personal realization. So they may look like devotees. Externally, it looks the same. But their goal is different. Their prayojana is different. So devotees want pure love for Krishna, so it's a different thing. Any questions on this? Yes.
Does the Sarva Dharma Parityajya verse also involve that we don't get entangled in this Dharma Artha Kama Moksha circle? If a devotee performs Bhagavad Dharma, does it also automatically invokes Artha?
The Bhagavad Dharma is something else. Because that's the you know, that's the process of just the chanting of the holy names. Like that. So those things are automatically there, because means if for the pure devotee this Dharma, Artha, and Kama and Moksha are just waiting to render some service. All the mystic cities are there. Everything is there. So those just come automatically. That's there, but it's slightly different from the other. means they're there waiting to do service even though there's nothing. One may live very simply and all that, but they're all there. But in those who are looking for the secondary results, then they will be living amongst those secondary results. If that makes some sense. Means the one is waiting to do service because the Vaishnavas aren't taking any service from them. And for those who are interested in secondary results, they're already doing service. You understand? Yes, no? If they're already doing service, means the results of karma artha, dharma artha, kama moksha are already present. You know, visibly seen and engaged in. But for those devotees who are interested in the primary results, then they may not be seen. But they're there waiting to render service, but the devotee's not accepting that service. He's not interested in those things. Because he doesn't see it. Someone gives money that's engaged in, you know, some service, some activity, some project. Prabhupada says, you give us $1 million in the morning, by the evening we'll be paupers. Right? You know, because it's already been spent for Krishna. Right? Pauper means beggar. Devidas. Then why do the scriptures praise these secondary results? Lahiri Mahashai. Two kinds of human beings inhabit the material world. One, the intelligent, and two, the unintelligent. The unintelligent will not perform any spiritual activity unless they see an immediate material benefit comes from it. For such persons, the scriptures praise the secondary results of devotional service. However, it is not the purpose of the scriptures that such persons shall remain always content with these secondary results. The idea is that after a short time, and by the mercy of the Lord's devotees, such persons will become attracted to the primary result. Devidas, Raghunandana and other authors of Smriti Shastras, then unintelligent. Lahiri Mahashai, no, they themselves seek the primary result. Still, the code of actions they prescribe is meant for the unintelligent. Devidas, in some scriptures we see, these are the commentators, Raghunandana. And Raghunandana, I think, was the main Bengali commentator. Devidas, in some scriptures we see only the secondary results are described and there are no mention of this primary result. What is the reason for that? Lahiri, the scriptures are of three kinds, according to the three classes of human beings eligible to receive them. For human beings in the mode of goodness, there are scriptures in the mode of goodness. For human beings in the mode of passion, there are scriptures in the mode of passion. For human beings in the mode of ignorance, there are scriptures in the mode of ignorance. So this doesn't mean the scripture itself in ignorance, it's just written in a presentation in a language that is attractive to those in these modes. Like that. So the results that are offered, the language used, the examples used, the stories used, then shows the audience that it's written for. Like that. So it's just speaking to a particular audience. So therefore it said it's in that mode, but it doesn't mean the scripture's in the mode. It's just written for people in that mode. David asks, in which of these scriptures should one place his faith? How can a person in the lower stages become elevated? Lahiri Mahashai. Persons with different kinds of qualifications have different kinds of faith. They who are in the mode of ignorance have faith in the scriptures of the mode of ignorance. They who are in the mode of passion have faith in the scriptures of the mode of passion. They who are in the mode of goodness have faith in the scriptures of the mode of goodness. Thus a person believes the conclusions of the scripture in which, according to the modes, he naturally has faith. By faithfully performing the duties for which he is qualified and by associating with saintly persons, devotees, one becomes elevated in this birth. Thus elevated, a person attains faith in the scriptures meant for elevated persons. Authors of the scriptures are perfectly learned and not at all bewildered. They compose the scriptures in such a way that by faithfully performing his own duties, a person may be gradually elevated. That is why the different scriptures describe many different kinds of duties. Faith in the scriptures is the source of all auspiciousness. Srimad Bhagavad Gita describes all the different conclusions of the different scriptures, and at the end it clearly describes the final conclusion of all the scriptures. So here's your point here. Bhagavad Gita is addressing all this, and at the end it says that all these different levels of dharma should be given up and just surrendered to Krishna. Therefore the devotional activities that are performed are only for pleasing the Lord. So those activities that are meant for sense gratification and impersonal liberation, that's all given up. Right? Either those specific rules that go in that direction, or even performing the sadhana bhakti for those purposes, that should be given up. So then all there is then performing one's duties for Krishna's pleasure. That makes some sense. Yeah. Okay, so that is the Devidas. Since boyhood, I have studied many scriptures, but today, by your mercy, I can understand the wonderful purpose of them all. Lahiri Mahashai, in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.8.10, it is written: Anubhyascha Mahadbhyascha Shastrebhyo Kushalo Nara. Sarvatas saranam adayat pushpebhyat eva satpada. Just as a honeybee takes nectar from all flowers, big and small, an intelligent human being should take the essence from all religious scriptures. Son, I used to call you an atheist. Now I do not speak ill of anyone. Anyone who faithfully performs the prescribed duties that suit his nature should not be criticized. In fact, everyone acts according to their nature, and all will be gradually elevated at the proper time. You are learned in books of logic and fruit of action. Therefore, you are not to blame if your words follow these ideas. So this is the slow path. This is how it's ideally supposed to work. So this is how we see it. The Vaishnavas see it. So therefore, we don't criticize the various scriptures or those who follow these scriptures. The main point is that it's not the most effective path, it's not the fast path. So since in this age things are so bad and people aren't even properly following these other paths, you don't find proper impersonalists or karmakandis in that. They just don't. They just make up their own religions and all these other chala dharma and all these different things. So therefore, Krishna is recommending that one just take up the fast path, just immediately go into devotional service for the purpose of attaining pure love for Krishna, like that. That is the process. So that desire to please Krishna, attain love of Krishna, that's the eternal dharma. So all other dharma should be given up. Okay. Some question on that? Yes.
He said that there's two types of people, the intelligent and the unintelligent. Would Chan Hare Krishna be happy for the unintelligent?
No, that's for the intelligent. It's reading all the Dharma Shastras and logic and Nyaya and all that, which takes a lot of brains, but doesn't mean they're intelligent.
Well, just the point that he said that if you want. It's the
unintelligent
people are interested in doing something unless there's some sense gratification, some immediate benefit in it.
That also impersonal, because that's also temporary. It's just bigger temporary. Just within unintelligent, there's ones with more brains and less brains. And then there's ones with no brains, right? So those of the unintelligent with more brains are interested in personal realization. Those with, less brains are interested in pious activities that elevate them to the heavenly planets and get all kinds of nice material facility. And ones with no brains don't follow the Vedic culture like that. They feel that by their own methods they're going to make their life perfect. They're going to be, practical and get the work done and like that. So they do, as animals, like that. So that's the least intelligent. You know? Because if they were so intelligent, why do they have to work so hard? Animals do it much easier. So that means they're less intelligent than the animals. Like that. So that is what it comes. So intelligent means that you just cross that and understand the primary thing, that we are servant of Krishna, and act on that platform, giving up these other platforms of existence. Any other questions? No. I think because I have some work that needs to be done, so I may end here. So if there's no other questions, I think there's one more paragraph here. Devidas, I know some things, but I am not learned in the Vaishnava religion. I used to think that the Vaishnavas are fanatics who insisted on interpreting the scriptures in their own way. But now that I have heard your explanation, I know that among the Vaishnavas are learned persons who know the true meaning of the scriptures. From what great soul have you learned all this about the scriptures? Lahiri Mahashai, son, recently I've been instructed by a staunch Vaishnava in the next cottage by my spiritual master. In the next cottage, my spiritual master worships the Lord. He has taught me the meaning of all the scriptures. He is the person I have described to you. If you approach his feet, you may ask him about devotional service. Come, you and I will visit him.
What is interesting in that? I think that he repeats the same thing what he heard from his Guru Maharaj. Like he says that there are two kinds of people, the sensitive and the hurtful.
So he's repeated this, but you see it's taken into another, some more detail. Because here, now you're discussing with two people who they themselves were experts at the smarta shastras, you know, in these kind of scriptures. So then that detail comes out, you know. Before you were to a person who followed them, but was a devotee of sorts, you know. But was more into the sense gratification or impersonal understanding. I mean, he was following the so-called Vaishnava religion, you know, and the Dharma Shastras and all that, but for the purpose of secondary results. That was Lahiri Mahashaya. Then now he's been converted by the person who was following the Varnashram and who was just interested in the impersonal realization, right? So that you've cleared. Then you've cleared those who are following in this way. Now with Devidas, now you're clearing those who are, you know, like the smartas and that, who are following the Vedic culture. So here you're dealing with people who are following Vedic culture, but who are missing the point. Like that. You know, also of the two is that the sannyasi, you know, who is Vaishnavdas, he was, as a sannyasi, he was following very strictly the Vedic formula, and he was on the topmost platform of that. Born in a Brahmin family, taken sannyas, elevated in all these scriptures, and come to the Hamsa platform. Right? So, and Lahiri Mahashaya was someone who was very intelligent, also from Brahmin family, well-learned in the scriptures, but he went into the direction of following, you know, learned the Mughal, the Malecha, you know, Persian and all that, worked with the Persians, you know, basically same kind of line like Rupan Sanatan. So then he was very knowledgeable and expert in worldly. So he was working in the top of the worldly activities. So one was working in the top of the Vedic, one was working in the top of the contemporary materialism. And then he converted into secondary Vaishnava religion. Right, so then you're taking care of all those, you know. Right, Vedic, and not even going for secondary Vaishnava religion, just staying out of that. And then those who had gone into the modern, but then got into secondary. Right, and now you're dealing with someone who is following the Vedic, but is not interested in liberation, but in karmakanda. So we can see by, you know, the cleverness of the arrangement, all various aspects of improper material understanding and shastric and devotional understanding are being dealt with by all these different people. like that. So each one's explaining. So then naturally, according to who they're talking to, then those points will be brought out. But these are all essential points for the understanding. Then next, then you get down into nitty-gritty when they go into discussion between Vaishnav Das and Devi Das. Because Vaishnav Das is learned in Vedanta and, you know, Sanskrit, Nyaya and all that. And so is Devi Das. But one was impersonalist, one was a Karmakandi. So then, now you get the really technical nut-cracking, like it here says. Child, have you studied the scriptures? Devi Das, I studied the Nyaya Shastras from Muktipad to Siddhanta Kusumanjali and also studied all the Smriti Shastras. Like that. So now you get through, you know, into that nitty-gritty. So we'll end here. There's no other questions. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitya Gaur.